I'm thankful to be here again. Thankful to see many of you again. It's been a while since we've seen some of you. And I praise God for His goodness to us. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm Tony Sanchez. My wife and I labor in Juarez, Mexico. We have been among the saints for 12 years and come in here to Guthrie, Oklahoma for about 8 years. Likewise to Monarch. I have a teaching lesson. And to some of you, it's just a refresher course. We all need refresher courses sometimes. Sometimes we need our little course redirected a little bit when we're off a little. And the thought today is the church, and who and what is the church is the question. I've often heard people talking on the phone. It's kind of concerned me. They're going something like this. Yes, I'm in the church right now and I'm fixing to leave it. I'll see you in a few minutes. I'm going, it's time to pray. This guy's fixing to leave the church. Let's get down and pray for him. Let's fast. He's fixing to leave the church. I know it sounds kind of funny, but it sounds unusual for me to say they're leaving the church. What they mean is they're leaving the house of God, they're leaving the chapel, or they're leaving the place where God's church meets. It might be a house. It might be a garage. And so I would like for us to be more aware of what we say and to recognize who the church is. And I know that in the 1800s, there was a great emphasis placed upon the church being us. That it's not a building, it's not a temple. The church is who? The body of Christ. Amen? Amen. And we all know that, but sometimes we get a little off course. Say, I'll meet you at the church at 5 p.m. Well, you should already be in the church. You were added to the church the minute you were washed in the blood of the Lamb. The minute you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in the church. Amen. Amen. And I like the term that it used in the Old Testament, referring to what some people call the church building. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. When thou goest to the house of God, that's Ecclesiastes 5, one, and that's been my burden to teach those in Juarez, Mexico, the true identity of the church. The church is not bricks and wood. Jesus died for the church. He didn't die for a structure made out of metal. Amen?
Amen.
He died for living souls, people who are housed in temples, bodies that are His. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. I would like to take a little moment right here to say that the church has a head. Amen? I was good in art and college in school, but I'm not going to go into detail right now. The church has a head. And what is the name of that head? Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the church has a head. His name is Jesus Christ. It's not the oldest minister. It's not the minister that has the most experience. That's the head. That's the leader. It's Jesus. And we are led today by the Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful for that leadership. That head will never go crazy, never mislead us. If we submit to that head, we'll be sane in our mind, in the way we think, in the way we go about life. Amen? So Christ is the head of the church. Can you imagine this building right here with the big head on top of it? We look kind of ridiculous, right? Because this building right here is not the church. We are attached to the head, and we are the body. Amen? Praise the Lord. So right now we discovered or rediscovered or were reminded again that Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. The church has the ability to be subject. A building doesn't. Amen?
Amen.
Only someone that has a will, has a mind, can subject themselves to another person. An animal can subject himself to you too. A dog and a cat. Mine do. Amen. So, a building cannot subject itself to anyone. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Well, we sometimes say, I love chocolate. Well, we can say, well, you might be able to love this building right here. But Jesus wasn't referring to that he loved a building and gave himself for it. He loved us. He loved the lost world. And as we surrender to him and yield to him and place our faith in him and are washed in the blood, we're immediately added to that church, added to the body of Christ. We're members of that body of Christ. He is the head, and he places us where he wishes in that body. We are his members. And Christ loved the church, not the building, but he loved us, and he gave himself for it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go to that verse that follows. It says in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. It is possible to cleanse this building, clean the carpet, clean the kitchen, amen, Lysol, Clorox bleach. We can cleanse it. But right here he's talking about us. He died that he might cleanse us and sanctify us. That second work of grace where the Holy Spirit comes down and burns out carnality. That first work of grace where we're washed in the blood, that's what he does. Amen? And we're thankful for that. I think most of us know that. Amen? But we might get a little off track in how we apply the word church. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go on to that following verse. We're in Ephesians 5, verse 27. That he might present it, not the building, but us, the body. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or anything, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And there goes down the drain the theory that there's nobody perfect and that Christians sin every day. Jesus died so that we might be without blemish and holy. Not when we're caught up in the air to meet him in the air, but right now. Amen. We're thankful that we have the power right now to be without blemish and to be holy. What does the word church mean in the Greek? It comes from the word ekklesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. It's a Greek word. And that word means called out. It also means congregation. It also means assembly, and it means church. So when we say, I'll meet you at the church in 10 minutes, we're misusing the word church because it means a body of people called out. Called out from what? Well, you could be called out of the dance hall, called out of the bar, called out of drug addiction, called out of anger, wrath, malice, and forgiveness. You're called out of that. You're called out of sectism, false religion. We're called out. A building cannot move unless it's a travel trailer or a trailer, right? A mobile home. Then it can be moved, but it cannot move of its own self. Amen. We have been called out by the power of the Holy Spirit to be the church, to be the spotless bride of Christ, living holy here on earth. We are the ecclesia. We are the congregation, the assembly, those that have been called out. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Verse 44. And all they believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men. And every man had need. Excuse me, as every man had need. Verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, verse 47, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So there we see that it's not appropriate to call this building the church, because when these people were saved and brought out of the law or brought out of paganism, whatever they were under, they were added to the church. How were they added to the church? They became members of the body of Christ. So that's the church can be added to. Amen? I'm thankful that I've been added to the church. How many of you here are thankful that you've been added to the church? I am thankful every day. It doesn't grow old. I'm thankful to be a part of the body of Christ. A family where we are loved and we can love and we can serve and be served. Amen? Praise the Lord. It says in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. This is right after Saul, who was later called Paul, was converted and he was preaching and they couldn't believe it. Once they had it settled that he was on their side, he was on their team, they accepted him. And it says that the churches had rest. This building does not have the ability to rest. Only we have the ability to rest. The churches, the groups of assemblies in different houses, they rested once they found out that Paul was no longer going to drag them out of the house where they were meeting and persecute them and take them to the synagogue and have them whipped. Amen? So the church can have rest because it's a living body. It's an organism. Amen? Not just an organization. It is an organism, a living body. Acts 11, verse 22. Acts 11, 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church. Stop right here and let's add ears to this head. Jesus is the head, and the church has ears. We already had somebody else draw a picture of something similar to this with another subject. This head has ears. I hope that our ears are open to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. I hope that our ears are open when we're about to make a decision. The Holy Spirit says, no, don't go that way. Don't do that. May our hearts be open, not just these ears, but the ears of our heart open. We can be easily impressed, warning us or telling us, do that right now. Don't wait. I want you to do it right now. Amen? We have ears to hear. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. And then it says also in verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. Notice that it doesn't say they assembled or gathered together at the church. It says they assembled with the church. Why would they assemble the church? Because they assembled or gathered together with each individual member. And the church assembled. Assemble means gathered together. They met together. We're at a meeting right now. We call it a meeting because we're meeting together. Amen? And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. So it's more appropriate, instead of saying I'm going to the church, it's more appropriate to say I'm going to go meet with my church. With it. Amen? We're going to go meet with the church, not at the church. We should already be at the church and in the church. Amen? Praise the Lord. It says in Acts 11, 26, And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled or met themselves or gathered themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Let's go to chapter 12, verse 5. Who can read it, please? Acts 12, 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, please.
Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing in the church of God.
Amen. As the brother said, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of who? The church, unto God for him. So, yes, we can pray in the Spirit, but we can also pray with our lips. So let's add a mouth to this church, because this church can speak prayer. This church has a head, Jesus, ears to hear, and a mouth to pray. Amen? Have you seen a building with a head, ears, and a mouth? I haven't. Might be drawn on there, a picture in there, but it doesn't. A building cannot speak. So we are the church. And we, the church, are the ones that pray. And we all know that wonderful miracle. Peter had been whipped and put in prison, and the angel came and opened the door, and they were praying for Peter. And this is what happened. The angel came, heard their prayer. It says in, praise the Lord. Verse 12. We're in Acts 12, 12. And when he had considered the thing, Peter, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So it doesn't say he came to the church building. He didn't go to church. He went to the body of people that were praying in the house. Amen? Let's go to chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now there were in the church prophets. This is now referring that they were standing in the building, the church building. They were in the body of people, and that body of people, they had prophets, as we do in the church of God today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Praise the Lord. Let's see. I think that's the verse I was looking for. Somewhere in there made reference to the church, and that's not the verse that I was looking for. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to Acts 14, verse 27. Acts 14, 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So they gathered the whole church together. When you come to this building, it's not scattered. It's in place. You don't have to gather. They gathered the body of people together. I'm so thankful that we're gathered here together. We drove a long distance to be gathered with you, and I'm thankful to be here with the church, gathered together with the church, the body of God's people. Verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church, and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. And I'm thankful that when we came here among you, to this time we were received of the body here, the church. And so, how do you receive somebody? You open the door, you give them a hug, you receive them. So the church has hands. It has arms. Just stick for you here. And it has hands. Amen? The church can receive you. She can hug you. She can open the door. She can cook a meal for you. She has hands. This building does not have hands. Therefore, it is not the church. We are the church. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Acts chapter 15. Acts 15, verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. It pleased the apostles and the whole church. Can this building be pleased? No, it has no feelings. It's not human. We, the church, can be pleased. We can be pleased. Someone was pleased recently to send a young man to Juarez, Mexico. And he was a lot of help to us. This 17-year-old man was an encouragement. He left the whole congregation encouraged by his testimony and his life. And they were just thrilled to meet him. It pleased the church to send him over there. Amen? Praise God. A building cannot do that. Acts 18, verse 22. Acts 18, 22. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch, Paul. He saluted the church. Do you ever come to this building and say, "Hi, Guthrie Church building"? No. You come and you say hello to all your friends and brethren in the body. Because we are the church meeting in this building, the house of God. Or the chapel, if you want to call it. Amen? God's gathering place. It's simply the house of God. It's not the church. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. 1 Corinthians 10, 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Can this building get offended and start to cry and get angry? No. But the church of God can be offended. The church of God can have tears come down because of hard words being said to it, amen? The church can be offended, because that's us. And great love have they that love the Lord, and nothing shall offend them, right? Great love have they, or great peace have they that fear the Lord, nothing shall offend them. That love thy law. Thank you, Sister Maxine. Praise the Lord. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Something along those lines. 1 Corinthians 11, 13. Who may read it, please? 1 Corinthians 11, 13. Yes. 11 and 13.
Judge in yourself that a woman pray unto God.
Verses 14 and 15, please.
Long hair, it is a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for
given to her for a covering. Verse 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So the church of God does not have the custom of the women cutting off their hair and showing up to service without her head covered with the long hair. We don't have that custom. Neither do we have the custom of being contentious. But who is it that doesn't have this custom? The churches of God. Amen. The churches of God has taken on certain customs, traditions, and doctrine, and she keeps them. Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:22. Who may read that, please? 1 Corinthians 11:22. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. The church of God, we can despise the church of God. The church of God can be despised, hated. Amen. She has feelings. She can be despised and set aside like Jesus was. And she will be. And she has been. And she will continue to be. But I'm thankful that we, as God's people, love the church of God. We appreciate the church of God. We value her. Yes. Praise the Lord. She's God's precious gift to this earth to be a light. It's a light set on a hill. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:18. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. The body is the church. And he sets the members where they are to be. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Paul discovered there was a problem in the body of Christ where they were speaking languages that they grew up with, and it was a conglomeration of different countries gathering together, and you can imagine they're new believers, and they're all speaking in different languages, and it's confusing everybody. And Paul says, if you're going to speak in another language, let somebody interpret for you. Otherwise, be quiet. And he says, if you're speaking in French in this service, God will understand you. You'll be encouraged, but nobody here will. Well, I don't know if anybody here speaks French, but most of us don't speak French, and we would not understand. So the church can be edified. Edified means she can be taught, encouraged, lifted up, strengthened, restored, edified. Amen? So a building cannot be edified. It has no ears to hear. It has no feelings. It has no mind to think. The church can be edified. Amen? Let's go to verse 23. We're in 1 Corinthians 14:23. Amen. Praise the Lord. If therefore the whole church become together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? The whole church can get up from where she's at and go somewhere and meet. So, what does it take to be able to get up from where you are? Usually it takes legs. Amen? It takes legs. It takes you dragging out your legs out of bed in the morning. Amen? See if I can do some legs here. Some leg. The church has legs. She uses those legs not to go to the bar. She uses those legs not to go gossip about her brother and sister. She uses those legs to edify and encourage others. To go to the house of God, to the chapel, and gather together with God's people. Amen? She has legs. Amen? The whole church become together. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I what? Persecuted the church of God. Again, this building cannot be persecuted. Well, we could throw rocks at it and burn it up, but it would not feel persecution. It has no feelings. The church of God is, we are the church of God, and we can be persecuted. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 2 Epistle of Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy. Let's go to verse, 1 Corinthians 1, we'll read that later. 1 Corinthians 1, 7. No, sorry, let's go to, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 16:19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So, can you try to fathom this big building inside of a house? If it was a big house, it might fit inside of it. But in most houses, this big building would not fit in there. This chapel would not fit in a house. So the church, the people, we were gathered in the house. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. With the church that is in their house. They were sending greetings, and the people that gathered in their house, because they gathered in houses in those days, they were sending greetings to them. Glory to God. Let's go over to Philemon. Philemon chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Verse 2. Philemon chapter 1, verse 2. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. In those days, God's people did not have difficulty identifying the church. They understood that the church was the people. And the people gathered in the houses in those days. They gathered in houses. So they would go, I'm going to go to that house of worship and meet with God's people. I'm going to go to God's house and gather with God's people. They never said, I'm going to go to the church, because they were already in the church. They were part of the church. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. 21. We're in Ephesians 2:21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We are built. How are we built? We're built together. God takes away my unforgiveness towards you, and I'm attached to you. I can love you now and care for you. Amen. I was brought out of the... Maybe you were brought out of a false church over there. I was brought out of a false church over here, and we're brought together. We're built together. I believe that maybe the women preacher could not preach, and I believe that they could. And God changed your mind and showed you from the Bible that women are... They can be called to preach. And now we see mind to mind. We're brought together. Amen? We're fitly framed together in doctrine and mind, in teaching. Through Jesus, by yielding to Him, by allowing Him to be our mind, subjecting ourselves to His way of thinking, having the mind of Christ inside of us. Amen? And we are a building fitly framed together. Sometimes when you're... In those days, they did use rocks, and they would cut... break off pieces of the rock to make it fit as they build the building. There in El Paso, Texas, they build a lot of rock walls. Sometimes they have to cut it to fit the spot that's in it. We have to be cut sometimes. Old doctrines and ideas, old habits have to be cut away so that we can be able to be patient and long-suffering with one another and accept one another. We have to be fitly framed together. And it says, ye also are builded together a habitation through the Spirit. It says that groweth unto an holy temple. In Mexico, they have the habit of saying, I'm going to the temple to meet. Instead of saying, I'm going to church, they say, I'm going to the temple. And I teach them over and over, no, you're not going to the temple. You're supposed to be the temple. We are to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to the temple. They go, well, in the Bible, they went to temples. I said, yes. The disciples kept on being in the temple until 70 AD. The temple was destroyed, burned. Then they took up one stone upon the other to get out the gold, as we all know. The only temple that ever existed ended in 70 AD. Since then, God has had no temples made out of wood or stone. We are His temple. Amen. We are a temple. When we go on to perfection, go on to the second work of grace, the Holy Spirit abides now continually in our hearts, and we become the house of God, or the temple of God, where He abides continually if we continually submit to that head right there, Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16. We all, as God's people, hear this often quoted, I'm sure. I quote it often as I preach. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not, and of course we know, sometimes we need to be reminded, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You might be saying, Paul, you're being a little obnoxious. Why are you telling us that we are the temple? We know. But he was reminding them. He was reminding them, you are the temple of God. Would you like it for your neighbor to come home, you're on vacation, and come redo your house? Go in there and rip out your carpet, and you have a brown carpet, put in a red carpet, take off your drapes and put new drapes, and put bricks outside and redo your garden. Would you like that? No, you wouldn't. You would say she was trespassing property. You would not be at all happy. You go, why in the world would you do that? You know, when we lay it all on the altar, it's God's temple. Amen? That's why we don't hang on little jewelry in our earrings, put on rings, and the woman doesn't cut off her hair, the man doesn't let his hair grow, because we want our temple to be like God wants it to be. Amen?
Amen.
We're not over here painting our nails, because God didn't ask us to paint our nails. Amen? This is His temple. Would you like it if one morning you'd get up and your car that was parked in front of your house was blue the day before and the next day it's red? You wouldn't be happy. Because it's your car, it's not the neighbor's or that person that went and painted it. When we give God our life, it should be His. And we should say, Lord, how do you want me to speak? How do you want me to dress? How do you want me to act? And then we're His property. He bought us with a great price. Know ye not that ye are bought with a price? Amen. We are God's temple. So I know that we as God's people here don't have that problem. But in Mexico, they go, we're going to the temple. I say, no, you're not going to the temple. You should be the temple. Amen. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? I'd like to shift gears a little bit here and just mention to you all that I had been reading the Bible since age 11. I was raised Catholic. I had never read the Bible until age 11 when a 90-year-old man gave me the Bible. I'm now 49. I've been reading the Bible every day. I don't say that to boast. I'm just letting you know that I had read it all the time until just 12 years ago. Going back in time, before 12 years ago, I knew nothing about this body of people, the Church of God. I knew nothing about you. I did not know that the real body of Christ existed. And other than that, we had been a part of a body of believers that we thought was the Church of God. By 12 years ago, I had already found out that the church or the body of people that we met with was not the true church. Something was wrong. They had wrong doctrine. So we started praying that God would show us the true Church of God. For a year and a half, we prayed. We met together, just Lisette and I in our home. We invited people. And we started studying just what the Bible says. We said, Lord, we want to be... we want these toxins of false teaching and ideas of men to be taken out of us, and we're only going to obey what the Bible says. That's all. And so we started praying that God would lead us to the true Church of God. And one day we were wanting to have breakfast. A year and a half had gone by. We had left the church that we were a part of. Some of you know them as the 2x2s. They call themselves the Truth, the Friends. They meet in houses. The ministry goes out 2 and 2. They sell everything. Well, we went to go eat at IHOP. And my wife got and I in the car. We got in the car and we're driving to IHOP. And we're talking, and all of a sudden I parked the car and I'm in front of JB's restaurant, another breakfast restaurant. I told her, I said, how do we get here? She goes, I don't know. It's just like the car just got a mind of its own and it drove to JB's. And so we went inside. I said, oh, how do we end up here? I said, it's getting late already anyway. They have a good buffet. Let's go eat inside. We're here already. I said, let's eat inside. So we did. Before we sat down, we saw a man and a woman, man and wife, and their daughters and another older woman there sitting. And the man gave thanks out loud for his food. And I turned that way, and I saw that they were modestly dressed. The woman had long hair. The older woman had her hair up, like you all have here. The younger girl had her hair down, and it was down, almost dragging her feet. She was about 12 years old. It was long, long hair. And I knew that wherever the true body of Christ was, that they would be obeying 1 Corinthians 13. That they would obey Timothy and Peter, where it says, let it not be the outward adorning of putting on of gold and of pearls and of ostentatious hairdos, so forth. So I said, well, we've been looking for the churches. Go ask them what they believe, I told her. So she went and talked to them, then I came later. It's a long story. They were a group of people that had broken away from this body of people years back. They called themselves a Seventh Seal group. And so I asked them questions, and they were about to meet with some saints that meet here. I won't say their names. And we were, well, I said, can we meet with y'all? I asked him one question upon another. Do you have TV in your home? He says, no, we don't. I said, do you speak in tongues? This unknown language? No, we don't believe in that, they said. And I asked one question upon another, because all the groups that call themselves Church of God, they were charismatic and they spoke in this gibberish. And I thought they were like that. Well, they sounded a lot. Everything that I was convicted of, they were convicted of too. So I said, well, where are your headquarters? And they said, in heaven. I said, praise the Lord. So anyway, make a long story short, they got a hold of their preacher, Vichy Campground. He came and preached 5 services in our home and in a motel we rented. And then this minister from Vichy Campground wrote to Faith Publishing. They sent us the material. I started reading it. And the first thing that I noticed was the name Church of God. It's a shame how the devil gets one deceived. I had read that word. I've been reading the Bible over and over, and I had never noticed that phrase, Church of God. And let's go to the name Church of God. What do we say when somebody asks us, what church do you belong to? What do we say? We are the Church of God. We belong to Jesus. We are the Church of God. Amen? And so, here it says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, unto the Church of God. I had read that over and over again, never had noticed it. Unto the Church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and all that in every, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. I didn't finish that story well. It took 3 years before we came to Guthrie after that. There were a lot of negative things said about this body of people. And then I saw some negative things in the people that came to be with us. And so I decided to just forget about this group called the Church of God for, about a year and a half. Finally, one day, I again pulled out the book called The Revelation Explained by F.G. Smith. And I started reading it. And when I read it, the Lord just opened up my eyes. And what I already knew, it added more to it, more like gleam down. And I said, there's got to be something to this. Brother Stanley, Sister Karen Dixon, had stopped in at that time with that Bishop Campground preacher. And had been in the service just a little, they get arrived late, we just met him, I had gotten their phone number, so I called Brother Stanley, and that's how we started visiting. And that's how the Lord started to open my eyes again. Brother Stanley would say, I love you, Brother Tony. Didn't he say that often? I love you all. He could have gotten angry, upset, because I drilled him and poked him this way and that way, and trying to see if I could trip him up. I was testing him to see if he really knew what he was talking about, or he was just following traditions of men. And he was always, Brother Tony, I don't know that one. So give me time to pray about it and I'll get back to you on that, he'd say. And I visited with him for 7 months before we came to Guthrie. When I came here, I'd already been visiting with Brother Stanley for 7 months. He heard my tears. He saw how I was accepting everything. And he said, come on over, Brother Tony. Come over here. Let me give you a real hug, he said. Anyway, first, let's go over now to 1 Corinthians. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:32, as we already mentioned, says to give none offense to the church of God. It says it there again. We read it in 1 Corinthians 11:16, churches of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:22, church of God again. Amen. There was a name, Church of God, and I had never noticed it in all of my life. 1 Corinthians 15:9. Paul said, For I am the least of all the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the Pentecostals? Because I persecuted the Catholic Church? Because I persecuted the Baptists, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses? No. Who was he persecuting? The Church of God. Isn't it wonderful to know that there are a lot of things that are right about the Church of God? Not just a lot of them. Everything is right about the Church of God. And it agrees. And it's in agreement with the Word of God. We are the Church of God. Amen? 1 Corinthians, chapter 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the Church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Amen? We also call ourselves the saints. Why? Because it's in the Bible. Saint means called out, called apart, made holy. We are the true saints. And we, the true saints, we know, we're not confused. We don't say we belong to I'm a part of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and always say, we are the church of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. We glory with you in the churches of God. Or, in all the congregations, when I'm gathering with all the congregations where they meet, we glory, we are excited, we rejoice, we praise God for what He's done in you. Amen? Praise the Lord. There it was again, the church of God. Some people might have a problem with Jehovah's Witnesses will say, well, God's name is Jehovah. His name is not God. But let's go to the Bible. Does the Bible call God the Father God? It's obvious. Yes, it does. Over and over again. It says here, it even says that His name is God. Where does it say that? It says in Jeremiah 32, verse 18. Jeremiah 32, verse 18. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest in the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. Amen. What is the Lord of God? Mighty God. We are named after God. We are the church of God. One last verse. Let's go over to... there'll be several verses, excuse me. One of them is... Praise the Lord. In Ephesians. Praise the Lord. Ephesians. Chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And what is God's name? Mighty God. And how are we named? The church of God. We're named after God. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then we'll finish with what Jesus said in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 43. John 5:43. Jesus said, I am come in the Jehovah's Witnesses' name. I am come in the Mormon's name. No, it says, I am come in the Father's name. And ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. Amen. So what is the Father's name? Mighty God. And we come in the Father's name. We say we are the church of God because we belong to God Almighty. Praise the Lord.